read from chapter 5 and chapter 6. I did that intentionally because we're not going to be in chapter 6 today. This morning, the title of the sermon is The Third Warning, Part 1. So we've moved into an area in Hebrews now. You remember there are five warnings in Hebrews. And these warnings have terrified believers, and in one way they should. But when it comes to losing your salvation, you should not, okay? Now, so these five warnings, some of the strongest passages found in the New Testament. And the third warning that we're coming to begins in verse 11, but it runs all the way through chapter 6, well, really down to chapter 6, verse 20, okay? So this is part one of the message. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, if we're still here, if we're not home with the Lord, then I'm going to move into chapter 6, one of the most severe warnings found in the Word of God. Most people jump over chapter 6. Okay, and I say that not as a judgment. I wouldn't mind jumping over it myself, but that's not what God wants. We teach through the Word of God here, amen? You know, G. Morgan Campbell, a great expositor of the Word of God, if you have his library as I do, you'll notice when you come to the book of Hebrews that even though as great as an expositor, he was called the prince of expositors, by the way, he skips over chapter 6. And here is a man that would read a text 100 times before he ever put a pencil on and paper together to write notes. He read it 100 times. So that shows you the severity of next week and what it holds. But this week we're going to look at the first part of this warning. And it's the danger, literally, for believers not to progress, not to grow up. In other words, it's the refusal to grow up almost. No, it is a refusal. Listen, if we're not growing up in Christ, who are we resisting? The Holy Spirit. He's the one who wants to take us from glory to glory. Amen? Absolutely. So with all that being said, remember, Hebrews is about finishing the race. It's about going on into maturity. No matter what they're facing, it's a letter of encouragement. Hebrews 13:22. The author writes it not to discourage these new Jewish believers, but to encourage them. Now, remember that the temple is still standing. Sacrifices are still being offered. And it's the destruction of Jerusalem is closing in by, of course, Rome. Now, with all that being said, this letter, which is written to believers, remember in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it calls them holy brethren. And then in verse 9 of chapter 6, it calls them beloved. That word is only used of those who are in Christ, those that are believers. Now listen, this is about growing up into maturity. And we all must grow up, amen? So we're going to make a lot of applications about what the Jewish believers, they were facing, but also what we're facing as well. You know, there's nothing really better than growing up. Amen? Come on. When you're young, I can't wait till I'm 18. I can't wait till I'm 21. You know, oh, I can't wait. Well, you know what? I wish I was 18 again. You know what I mean? And know what I know now. But there are moments in your life, and what happens when we grow up, when we step out and we mature, it does something to you. It does something to you personally. You know, one of the greatest moments in my life, I'm talking about growing up. There I was that day, and I was facing the greatest foe in my life at that time, my shoestrings. I was 4 years old, and I was on the farm with my grandmother, who I loved dearly. I loved that farm. And I didn't really, you know, if you grow up on a farm, do you wear shoes?
No.
Well, three of you knew that, but we didn't wear shoes back then. And you know your feet, remember how tough they were? Man, you could walk on hot concrete, hot asphalt, and it would hurt the asphalt. So there I was in my grandmother's living room, and my older sister Judy, not the one who raised me, Joanne, but Judy, another sister. I was crying. I could not tie those shoestrings. And there I was. I was 4 years old. And she said, Billy, put your foot up there on that chair. And I did. And I had my shoe there. And she said, watch. And she'd do it and then untie it. Do it again. Untie. Practice. Then finally, I tried. I couldn't do it. But then it happened. Whenever I put that loop the right way and pulled it, something happened in me. I grew up. No, do you understand? Listen, I mean, I was the man. Do you understand? So there's something about growing up that is so wonderful for us. And so that's what we're faced with this morning as we look. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to be 35 years old and not be able to tie your shoestrings? Huh? Well, it's just as much of a tragedy for a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, all right, that's been a Christian a long time, but they don't grow up. They're still a baby. They're not mature. Now, that's bad, isn't it? Yeah, come on. So, with all that being said, let's begin then in verse 10. This is the introduction to the third warning, all right? Verse 10 says about God, how he called Jesus Christ, our Lord, as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom the writer says here, hey, we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Now, of whom refers to Jesus Christ, again, our great high priest who is in heaven, in contrast with Melchizedek, who is the priest of the Most High God. Now, listen carefully. The writer now does something. He can't go on into chapter 7 and talk about Melchizedek in the contrast with our Lord. He can't do it because they're not listening. They're not hearing it the right way. So he digresses, if you will, and he says, listen, I have so much I want to tell you about the deep things, about our great high priest who is in heaven right now, who's in there for us right this minute. But he said, I can't do it because you got a hearing problem. Like it says in Hebrews 6:12, he says, you have lazy ears. Isn't that, you ever have lazy ears? How can ears be lazy? You know? In other words, sluggish, slow to understand. I think one of the early church fathers used the word dull. He said the word means stupid. Now, I didn't say that, but he did, okay? So the thing is that he could not do it because they had a hearing problem. And before you judge the first century Jewish believers, I think it's important that we kind of judge ourselves. Amen? A self-examination time. I mean, listen, what is in Hebrews 3:7, it says, therefore the Holy Spirit says, today, right now, the sense of urgency, right this minute, today, if you hear his voice. How quickly are we, all of us, so susceptible to hearing not right things, but wrong things? Come on. The voice of the world is out there. The voice of strangers is out there. The voice of unbelief, the voice of the wicked one, and so forth. Think about how quickly, not all of us, but think how quickly many Christians, boy, they open their ears so quickly. They can hear perfectly when people are gossiping. Thank you, Lord. I felt good about that, you know. No, listen, we don't want to do that. You know, verse 11 should be in the church today, especially today, it should be a wake-up call to every Christian, each and every one of us, loved one. And you say, well, Bill, why are you saying that? Because if you'll notice in the scripture I just read, which I'll do it again, I have much to say, the writer says, hard to explain, since you, what? Have become dull of hearing. Spiritual dullness, listen to me now, at any age can happen. Spiritual dullness is gradual. It doesn't happen all at once. It says, have become. What does that mean? It means that they were not always dull. They didn't start out dull. They became dull. They had progressed. Now they regressed. Does that make sense? What a horrible thing to be on your way and now you're back being a baby again. That's exactly what was happening. They were dull of hearing. They didn't want to grow up. Loved one, if you're not progressing in the faith, you're regressing in the faith. Amen? Now look at verse 12. He says, though by this time, now we don't know how much time, but he says, by this time, look what they should have been. You ought to be what? Teachers. And the word ought means an obligation, okay? It speaks of an obligation we have. He says, by this time, man, listen, you guys should have been teachers, but you need someone to teach you what? One more time, to teach you again, which means they had already been taught. Let's look at it again. By this time, you need someone to teach you again what? The first principles are the elementary, the ABCs, okay? Go all the way back to the beginning. The elementary principles are the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, dullness did something. Their dullness stunted their spiritual growth. Like Paul just said, the author of the Hebrews, he said, man, by this time you ought to be teachers, but now you have to be retaught all over again. It would be like this. It's like Paul would be saying, or if I can, let's use an example. Okay, three or four of you, here's a problem. You shouldn't be in the chapel anymore because, you know, you have dull hearing. Here's what you're going to have to do. You should have been teachers by now, but you're not teachers by now. Head on over to the kids' church, okay? I want you to check in at the nursing mom's room for some of you. Others can go to the toddlers, you know. And you need to be taught the ABCs of the gospel and the good news all over again. Let them open those little storybooks with the pictures of Jesus in it. Sit in their lap. You know what I mean? Because they need milk. Now, that was true then, and it's also true today, isn't it? Yes, come on, guys. Listen, it says you ought to be teachers by now. Do you think that's just speaking about pastors? No, it's speaking to every believer. Every believer. You ought to be teachers by now. And the word by now is, those are sad words. You mean I could have been teaching? Yeah. In other words, when we look at this text that we're looking at, loved one, are you making disciples? If you've been a Christian, let's just put a big number, 10 years. Are you sharing the gospel? Do you know how to share the gospel? You know, an easy one. If you've been a believer for 10 years and you have little children that are you opening up the Word of God and teaching them? Well, you should be. You ought to be teachers by now. Your teens, you ought to be teaching them by now, teaching them how to pray, opening the Word of God to them and so forth. Even the Bible says, what in Titus, that the older women should be teaching the younger women. Remember? All those things. Go to Deuteronomy 6 and you'll see, man, what was the command that the second generation, what was the command that God told Moses to tell the second generation before they entered the promised land? To teach your children. Pass it down. Amen? Oh, listen, so that's so important today. But in context, this is what you need to see now. In context, and I'll be using that word several times this morning. In context here, they had their specific hearing problem was about one person. It was about Jesus Christ and his heavenly unfinished work now in heaven. Does that make sense? And about the great high priesthood. And here's a question that I'll ask all of us. You know, are you satisfied right now in your walk? Are you satisfied with what you know about Jesus Christ, our great high priest? Boy, I mean, are you satisfied right now with what you know and believe about the throne of grace? I've explored it. Well, if you are satisfied, Christian, listen, it is not the Holy Spirit who has satisfied you. The Holy Spirit, again, he wants to show you the deep things of God. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and you'll find out what I'm talking about, the deep things of God. And they can only be spiritually discerned, loved one. The Spirit shows you. So here, they needed milk again. Now, instead of being strong Jewish believers, which they were, now they're weak again. In other words, they were dull. They were not maturing. So let's set this up now. Whenever you hear milk or solid food, here's what I want you to keep in your mind. Milk, as we study, always refers to what Christ did on earth. Does that make sense? His earthly ministry. What Christ has done, past tense. Meaning all the things that we've learned in the Gospels. Now, that's what milk is. Whenever we're saved, we begin learning about our Lord. We learn his sermons and all the miracles and all the things that he did. We learn about the virgin birth and it going to the cross and his death, the empty tomb, the ascension, all of those things. We never outgrow milk. You hear me? Milk is beautiful. The milk of the Word is beautiful. We never outgrow milk, but you cannot continue on milk or you will never grow. Does that make sense? You have to get into the solid food of the Word. See, is he still on the cross? No. Is he in the tomb? No. Jesus is in heaven. What does it say in chapter 1, verse 3? It says, after he himself had purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Jesus is there for you and me right this very minute. Listen. So the milk of the word refers to what Jesus has done. We can learn all of those things. And we need to always keep going back to it and renewing our mind to it. But when we come to the solid food, it refers what Jesus is doing in his heavenly ministry as our great high priest, what he's doing right now. Listen, our great high priest, as we've already learned, he is not only the heir of all things, he is not only the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, he is not only the express image of God, the exact representation of God because he is God. No, listen, loved one, listen, Jesus is better than anything. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Joshua. He's better than Moses. And he is definitely better than the Levitical priesthood. Amen? Amen. Now, we've learned all of those things. Our great high priest is alive, the God-man. He is sitting there on the Ark of the Covenant, the throne of grace, right this minute. And the Bible says that he, our great high priest, he is able to save to the uttermost. That word means completed, completely finished, to the uttermost, those who come to God through him. Amen? Listen, he's saving you right now. You want to know what he's doing? He's saving you right now. You want to know, right? He's praying for you right now. He has been interceding on the throne of grace for his church for 2,000 years. Are you listening to me? Now, I don't understand all of that, but I know this. When somebody says, Bill, I'm going to be praying for you, I say, okay, thank you. But if they don't, I know one who is. He ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. Oh, he is our great high priest. He passed through the heavens after he tasted death, after he defeated the one who had the power over death. Listen, the one who will never leave us. And what is he doing right now? Let me tell you what he's doing. Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Here it comes about Jesus, that he makes making you or make you complete. Isn't that wonderful that we are complete in him, the Bible says? Amen? Man, he says, I'm going to make you complete. That word means it means to equip like a battleship, okay? It means that everything you need right now, tomorrow, he's equipping you with. Does that make sense? He says, make you complete in every good work. The good works are the ones God has chosen before the foundation of the earth for us. Amen? And he says, every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. That's our Lord. Listen, look at verse 13. For everyone, that means there's no exceptions, everyone, every believer who partakes or uses only of milk, if you have an exclusive milk diet, okay, it says is unskilled or inexperienced in what? In the word of righteousness, meaning the word that was spoken by his son. Remember in chapter 1, it says in these last days that God has spoken to us in his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? It also says in chapter 2, verse 3, I think it is, of Hebrews, not for us not to neglect so great a salvation, that which was first spoken by our Lord. That word of righteousness, man, he says, look at it again. For everyone who partakes of only milk, unskilled in the word of righteousness, why? For he is a what? He's a baby. He's a babe. Now listen, is milk vital for every believer? Yeah, of course. Listen, the new birth, we were all babes in the beginning. Man, we need milk. You can't give a little baby. I mean, if you had a little baby in your arms and they don't have any teeth, you know what I'm saying? They need it. They can't eat T-bone steak. You have to put some milk in there, right? Now listen, so they desire milk and they'll let you know they desire it too. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes, the new birth, it says, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Crave that milk. The pure word of God, meaning not the watered down version you hear today, the sincere, pure word of the Word of God where you can grow thereby. What does it say in Romans 12:2? Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Amen? You renew your mind to the Word of God. The last letter that Peter wrote, he said in 2 Peter, I think, is 3:18. He says, but grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow into those things. Have you grown in grace? Are you matured in grace? Do you know that God loves you and that right now you stand in grace, the unmerited, undeserved, unearned, divine favor of the living God forever and ever and ever? By grace you have been saved. Amen? I say, oh God, you're so good to me. What did Jesus say about the Word, how we grow? He said in Matthew 4:4, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Paul the Apostle, writing Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, talking about every word of God, every scripture is God-breathed. We need it. It equips us. It completes us, amen, for every good work. Without God's word, we're not complete. We're not equipped. Now, so with all that being said, it is absolutely impossible for any Christian, no matter who you are, you never will grow apart from the Word of God. No matter how much you serve, no matter that you never miss a church service, you will be a baby until you get some solid food. Amen? There's no way around it. Now, it says there, if you only use milk, you are unskilled in the word of unrighteousness. Let's look at it from this perspective. If you are just on a milk diet, and that's all, the baby things, okay? Well, you are unskilled, loved one, in the word of righteousness, which means this, you're unskilled, you don't know that you've been fully acquitted, okay? Righteousness, fully acquitted. Listen, the word justification or propitiation or sanctification or imputation, those words are too big for a baby. Does that make sense? They don't know what those words mean. I told the early service, the great doctrine of justification. I never heard from the pulpit, never, anyone teach that as I was coming up. Never. But when I fell into that and I understood it, can I tell you that it changed my life? You see, babies, they don't understand that. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly about the righteousness. And that righteousness that we have, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, and God made him who knew no sin, meaning Jesus, sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That means that when that happened, it means that God said, I declare you justified. And meaning that just as if you have never sinned because you placed your trust in Christ Jesus. And then imputation means, that word means to take what belongs to another and put it into your account. So God, what does he do? He takes the spotless, sinless, perfect record of Christ Jesus and he puts it into your account. And when he sees you as righteous as his son. Does that make sense? Can the righteousness of God be changed? No, neither can yours. Now, that's your position, of course, not our practice, all right? Now, but then if you understand that, then you're growing up. See, the Bible is very clear, Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No judgment. Jesus paid it all. Are you listening to me? Oh, and I say, oh God, you're so good. See, but if you're a baby, you got to go back to the nursery. And they're going to open a little coloring book. And they're going to say, now this is Jesus. Or this is Moses. Well, what are those tablets? That's the Ten Commandments. Just color them in. I love you. But I'm telling you, it's such a need today. Listen, there comes a time. There comes a time when you have to make a change. If you're not, the Holy Spirit's not working in your life. He is, but you're resisting him. There comes a time when you say, okay, I am on a milk diet, but I've got to have some solid food, man. I've got to add that to my diet. And if you don't, you're never going to mature. See, a babe in Christ is a believer not growing to maturity. You're still on the bottle. The word babe there in literally means a little child who has not developed words yet to put into a sentence. They're just a little baby. They're still on the bottle. They're still in spiritual diapers and so forth. And they are inexperienced. They cannot digest sound doctrine. It chokes them to death. You know what I mean? You give a baby, you know, remember when you first start giving the baby, what is that stuff called? Baby food. I forgot. You know, Gerber. I don't know. It's been too many years. But you take it off and remember that first look? Man, they spit it all over you. You know what always grossed me out is that, you know, like the mom, Becky. You know, we didn't give him Gerber, did we? Never mind, don't answer that. I'm in the middle of a sermon. I've got an illustration going here. And, you know, you've seen it. And then, you know, the baby won't take it, you know, and it's all over his face, that spinach. And that it's pureed or whatever you call it. And then the mother takes it and puts it in her mouth, go, yum, yum. Oh, man, I can't handle that. No. I mean, I think about it now and it just unsettles me, okay? No, but the thing is, they can't digest. Babies cannot digest sound doctrine. They don't have any spiritual teeth yet. They're a babe, but they have to grow up. They have to get solid food. They're inexperienced. Now listen, and babies in Christ don't have any discernment. You know, I love it when children come to my office, okay? In my office, I have a little basket, and in it are Tootsie Roll Pops. You know what I mean? They're on a stick with a wrapper. Okay, so make sure you got it. Now, when they come into my office, they know exactly where that's what they come in for. They don't care about me. They want that milk, okay? So the thing is, they come in, I guarantee you, if I took off the Tootsie Pop the wrapper and wrapped it with a $100 bill, and one of the little kids came in, they would take that wrapper off that $100 bill and they would throw it on the floor and they would, am I right? Okay, but to me, that's cute, you know? But wait, but why do they do that? They're babes. They don't have any discernment. And, you know, but now if someone came to my office and you're 35 years old and you do that, it's not cute. I don't want you to do that. No, you might get punched or something, you know? Not by me, but by one of the bodyguards. I'm too old to punch anybody. Now, we have to grow up. What does the Bible tell us in Ephesians 4:13 and 14? It says this, that for we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Doctrine, every wind of doctrine, meaning teaching that just seems, man, that sounds so good. Oh, it's so appealing. And he goes on, he says, by the trickery of men, meaning those false teachers, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Deceitful plotting means they are inventors of error, of lies. They know exactly how to fleece the sheep, but they feed them with a little bit of truth, and then they come in and lay the lie. Does that make sense? Loved one, listen to me. Every believer, we all start out in the faith. We are all babies, and we're nourished on the pure word of God. We need that desperately so we can grow up. But to remain on milk is not enough nourishment. I mean, you'll be all right. You'll live. Can you just imagine? I can't even drink milk, but anyway. But can you imagine being on milk every day? That's all that you have, nothing else, just milk. Milk for breakfast, milk for lunch, milk for dinner, milk for the evening snack. And you do that 7 days a week. I mean, you'll never grow. Does that make sense? Because you don't have all the ingredients of solid food that you need. You know, I told the first service, I said, I wrote something down before it came out this morning. And I said this, God's truth is to the mind what food is to the body. And that is a true word. And boy, we just, you know, we don't want to remain on that milk. We have to grow up. We have to nourish ourselves. It says in 1 Timothy 4:6 that we are to be nourished in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine, or healthy, sound doctrine. In 1 Corinthians 3:1, When Paul the Apostle came to the most corrupt church there is, and that was the church of Corinth, they were suing one another. They were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. They were strife and division. It was horrible. He tells them in 1 Corinthians 3:1, he says, "Brethren, I could not speak to you as to a spiritual people," meaning you're not led by the Spirit of God. There's just no way. He says, "I have to speak to you as carnal." You're fleshly. You're living and acting and speaking like you're not even born again. You're carnal believers and you're babies in diapers or whatnot. He says, I have to speak to you as carnal as to babes in Christ. Man, we don't want to be like that. He goes on. He says, I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now. Now, that church was over 5 years old when Paul penned that, okay? He says, "For until now, you are not able to receive it." Interesting, just like what we're studying in Hebrews. You're not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able. And he tells us why. Listen, "For you are still carnal. You are still babies. You're still on milk." You know what happened in Corinth? Instead of the Corinthian church changing their culture changed them. Amen? Oh, they were in trouble. Now listen, we all start out on a milk diet, but we shouldn't be like the church at Corinth. After 5 years, you need to grow up. Amen? It's a tragedy not to. Now listen carefully. For a believer to remain on the milk of the word, and there's not, you always are on it, but to remain on it, and that's it. It means something. It means that you're not feeding yourself. You have to be fed, okay? It means that the pastor is nothing more than a spiritual milk bottle, okay? And he is giving it to you. And there's nothing wrong if you're a baby. But if you've been there for 5 years, you got a problem, okay? And so he's feeding you. And that's what was going on with the Jewish believers. They're born again. They've regressed instead of progressed. They need milk again. Why? They refused to grow up. They were that dullness of hearing. And I tell you what, as I already told you earlier, babies, they love milk. And babes in Christ, you know what they do? They love baby sermons. You know what I love about Calvary Chapel? It's because people that come to Calvary Chapel, they want to grow. Amen? Listen, that's why we teach line by line and verse by verse. We teach through the books of the Bible. But you know, but babes in Christ, loved one, listen. The thing is that dullness of hearing, and they love that baby sermons, if you will. You know, they like, remember what I told you one time? They like those longhorn sermons, you know, 2 points with a bunch of bull in the middle, you know? You know what I mean? And so forth. You know, they don't like that line by line in-depth teaching, you know, and you've heard it, you know, they like that feel-good sermon. I want to feel good. When I leave church, pardon me, allergies. I want to feel good. I want to feel good too, Lord, when I leave. I would like to feel good right now. Feel good. A feel-good sermon, you know. Oh, that was good. You felt, it was like chocolate with whipped cream all over, you know. Oh, I feel good. You know, I didn't hear the word sin. I didn't hear the word repentance. I didn't hear anybody say, get right with God. I didn't hear anything about money. I didn't hear anything. That's right. You didn't hear anything. And you've heard, don't give me that doctrine. I don't want doctrine. But the Bible commands the pastor to teach good doctrine, healthy doctrine. Amen? So we look at all of that. I read a story this week about a Christian woman, young woman, who was reading through the gospel. She just came to Christ. And let me read it to you. It says she was reading through the gospels. And after she finished, she told a friend she wanted to read a book on church history. And when her friend asked her why, the woman replied, "Well, I'm curious. And I've been wondering when Christians started to become so unlike Christ." What a word. 1 John 2:6, "He who says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked." There you take Peter and you take John. You know, there they are, fishermen and all that. Boy, when they're filled with the Spirit of God, in the religious leaders, told them you don't preach in Jesus' name and all of that. Loved one, listen to what they said about Peter and John in Acts 4:13. It says, and when they, the religious leaders, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, meaning that means untrained in rabbinical theology, if you will, they marveled and realized that they had been with Jesus. Boy, that's the secret right there to grow up, is just be with Jesus, is to follow him, amen? And I guarantee you, he will grow you up. So babes, listen, they drink only milk. That's their diet. They're dull of hearing. They refuse to grow up. You know why? They're lazy. Isn't that a nice word? They're lazy. If we refuse to grow up, it means we're lazy. If we refuse to open our Bibles and dig in deep, it means we're lazy believers. Is that okay to say that? Okay, but if we are mature, we're not lazy. We want to grow up. And if you want to grow up, you know what? It takes work, doesn't it? You know, sometimes I believe, no, I don't believe it, I know it, that God allows difficult things to come into our life to grow us up. I would not take for the hard times that I have had. Even before I was born again. There's something about going through difficult times. And when you cry out to God and you're at that throne of grace and you're digging through the Word of God and you're standing by faith on the promises of God, I'm telling you, that's when you start growing. When you know that, no, I'm going to believe God's Word. I'm casting down every thought, anything that exalts itself above the Word of God. I have to fight now. That's when you start growing up, loved one. It's very, very important. But mature people, believers, they get on that solid food because they work. Look at verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. In other words, that are maturing. That is, those by reason of what? Use. Those by reason of use, habitual use, okay, have their senses exercised to do what? To discern both good and evil. Now, remember, solid food in context again is always referring to the ministry, the high priestly calling of Jesus in heaven for us. Now, we all know where God is, where Jesus is right now. Hebrews 4:16, we can go to the throne of grace. We know exactly what we're to do. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, that we're to seek things above, not seek things below. We're to seek things above where Christ is. Amen? Now, but solid food belongs to full-grown people. They're growing up. Meaning, those by reason of use, they get into God's Word. And they train themselves over and over. They memorize scripture and they exercise themselves in God's Word. Timothy said this, or Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:7, he says, exercise yourself toward godliness. That means they work and so forth. Exercise yourself. We get our word gymnastics from that word in the Greek, by the way. But listen, you only have two types of food really to eat. You have either earthly food, or you have heavenly food, amen? And this is heavenly food right here. You have milk in here, and you also have solid food in there. Now listen, spiritual maturity is not automatic, amen? No, there's not. There's not any shortcuts, no instant formulas. You have to work or let the Holy Spirit work through you, amen? And grow you up. The Holy Spirit wants to illuminate every word in the Word of God to you, in your heart. Now, it says that we have to work. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent, or make every effort to present yourselves approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May I tell you, to rightly divide the word of truth so you won't be ashamed, to do it accurately, does it take diligent study? You better believe it does. Does it take, a lot of work? You better believe it takes a lot of work. You know, yesterday or this week, I was talking about the text that we're going to be covering Sunday to Becky. And I said to her, you're not going to believe this, but I said, I have written down 37 pages of notes just on chapter 6. 37 pages Now, I'm not, you know, just things I want to remember as I did my study in the Greek and this and all. Just notes after notes because of the difficulty of the text. See, if you're going to rightly divide the Word of God, you have to do more than read it. You have to study it. Does that make sense? You have to learn how to study God's Word. To be skillful in the Word, you have to spend time in the Word. Now, listen very carefully. I wrote this down. I want to just say it just like I did. I said this, Calvary, you are in trouble if your pastor is your main source of food. No matter how good or bad my teaching is, no matter how sound of doctrine it is. Does that make sense? If I'm your only source of food, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And I want you to be here, and I'm doing my job. But the thing is, you have a job to do too. Remember whenever Paul and Silas, when they went to Berea, they left Thessalonica, and they went unto the Berea. It says in Acts 17:10, and when they arrived, they went into a synagogue of the Jews, and they were more fair-minded, or they had a good attitude, than those in Thessalonica. Here's why. In that they received the word, God's word, with all readiness, meaning they were eager. And it says, and they searched, they did, they searched. They searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And then it says, and many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, but prominent women as well as men. Number one, what did they do? These believers. Number one, they received the word of God. Praise the Lord. They researched the Word of God, then they responded to the Word of God. They didn't say among themselves, just like right here, here comes the Apostle Paul, he comes up to the pulpit, and we're going, wow, man, the famous apostle of all is here, and he was led by the Lord himself to salvation on the Damascus road. We can trust every word he says. They listened to Paul. Are you listening to me? And they said, okay, Paul, we can listen, but we're going to go to the Bible ourselves. Does that make sense? We're going to go to the Bible ourselves and see if what you said is real, if it's true or not. How many times have I asked you and told you lovingly, check out everything I say. Whatever I teach up here, don't just say, well, Bill said it. No, loved one, you check it out. Is it true? Am I rightly dividing the Word of God? And so forth. It's important that you open up your Bibles. Don't just accept what others teach. Check it out for yourself. But listen, when you do, check it out for yourself. Now listen, you want to mature. Go to the Bible first. Okay? Don't go, oh, well, I'm going to check out Bill's sermon. I don't know about that, man, because no. Listen, they didn't search commentaries. They searched the Word of God. Amen? And that's what we're to do. They didn't say, I'm going to go check out my favorite Bible teacher. Even though Pastor Chuck, he's gone home. I know he's got, you know, chuck.org and all that. And I'm going to go through and see what he says. Well, there's nothing wrong with that after you've done your study time. That's how you grow. That's how you learn. You dig in yourself. If you want to grow up, you have to dig in. You have to work. Amen? Are y'all with me? You're not shutting me down, are you? Good. I can't handle that this morning. I'm tired. No. See, listen, if you have a marriage problem, don't call the wizard down the street. And don't call your mama-in-law. No. If you have a marriage problem, what do? You go into the Word of God. What does God say about my marriage? What does God say about raising my teens? Or whatever, what does God say about forgiveness? Or loving my neighbor as myself, and I don't like my neighbor. You know what I'm saying? See, God says, I want you to grow up. No, and that's what you have to do. See, the Word of God, you search it. You have to remember what Jesus said, John 17:17. Thy word is truth. So the study of God's word, it requires work. Milk people, they're kind of lazy. But if you want to be mature, you're going to have to work. Look at verse 14 again. Whenever you take that solid food, it belongs to you. It's the Word of God. If you want to grow up, it says, by reason of use, meaning practice, practice, practice in the Word of God, have their senses exercised to do what? To discern both good and evil. The reason, or by reason of use, that word again, it means habitual, ongoing, continuous practice in training yourselves not only to know the Word of God, but as you know the Word of God and understand the Word of God, you use God's Word to discern. You know, I told the first service, Friday, whenever the Halton Christian School had the Spring Festival, and I was watching it live, live online. Beautiful, big screen, man. You know how you get the close-ups? You know how you go to the football game, the pro football game, you have to sit up there and you can't see a thing? But then if you watch it on TV, you got everything. Well, see, I got to see every smile. It was so cool. They were bringing the camera in, and I saw their outfits. But here's what, before they got on this stage for that night, I could hear them, I almost would say every day, because my office is over there. And so they would be here practicing. I don't know how many dozens of times they practiced, but they practiced a lot. But that night when they stepped on stage because of reason of use, habitual use, they were incredible. I was crying. I think it was the best I have ever seen them do. But they did it because they worked and they worked and they worked. See, the word discern there means to judge and distinguish between. See, possession of information. Okay, I know what the Bible says, but if you don't do what it says, then you're in trouble. You see, you have to know it and then do it. Amen? Now, with all that being said, this solid food here, we digest the solid food. We want to go deeper in the things of God. And it gives us discernment. Remember what Jesus told the multitudes there in Luke 12:54. He says, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, you immediately say, well, a shower is coming, and so it is. When you see the south wind blow, you say, well, there's going to be hot weather. And there it is. And then he goes, hypocrite, you can discern, there's that word, discern. You can discern, you can distinguish between, you can judge, you can discern the face of the sky and the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? Isn't it amazing? They could discern the storm that was coming or the rain that was coming and all those things, but they could not discern the coming judgment that they were going to face. They couldn't even discern Jesus, the Son of God, right there in their midst. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:21, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. The Jews could, we can look out there and tell you what the weather's going to be. You know, my grandmother could do that. We grew up she was a farmer. She came from Tennessee in a covered wagon. Isn't that something? Boy, you're tough this morning. And she would go outside. You remember how, we know when it's going to rain, you smell it, remember? If we're ever outside, we never roll our windows down in our cars, so we wouldn't know, okay? But to know that, and today we can't discern anything. I mean, you know how we discern the weather? We have a weather app, we have an app for everything. You have an app that tells you, remember when you used to use maps, real maps? And you'd be driving, you'd pencil it out before you leave, you nailed it all down. And now if you people don't know how to read a map, we have a map in our car, and it tells us right turn, left turn, or object in road ahead, or police up ahead. We're helpless. No, ask Siri. Oh, discernment. Ecclesiastes 8:5. A wise man's heart discerns both time when to do a thing, and judgment. How not to do a thing, because for every matter there is a time and a judgment. And though the misery of man increases greatly, why is that? Because they don't have discernment. It says in 1 Chronicles 12:32 about the sons of Issachar. They had understanding of the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. They were only 200 chiefs in that little bitty tribe of David, okay? The soldiers there, the chiefs for David, I should say. And man, they understood the times. Should not the church of the living God at least know a little bit about the times we're in? Because we have the Word of God. Discernment. Think of the terrible price right now today that the church is paying for spiritual immaturity. because they're so easily deceived. I mean, it doesn't take much to draw little babies, you know, away into false doctrine. See, the mature discern good and evil, meaning false doctrine and true doctrine. Does that make sense? But you take an immature believer, they'll hear anything. Do you know what I mean? You take a little baby, will a baby put anything in their mouth? Yeah, they pick it. Doesn't matter. It doesn't. No discernment, you know. I was fishing one time back, well, this is back when there was nothing but farmland all the way to Denton. And we were on the Bear Creek. And I was only about 5 years old, and I'd go fishing every day. And I was with my buddies, and they were about 5 years old. And so, man, we were on the bank of the river, and we were fishing just cane poles. And all of a sudden, my buddy, there's four of us, my buddy, he was catching fish after fish. And I said, what in the world are you using? He said, and he reaches in his pocket, and he pulled out that, and they were baby snakes. And I went, oh, my God, do you not know what that is? And I thought, you know, I started checking him out. Thought, you know, think about that. Did he have discernment? Well, he's catching a lot of fish, but he didn't have any discernment. No, you see, the babies, immature Christians, listen, if they're not, if they're just still on a milk diet, they'll put anything into their ear. They don't know if it's false or if it's true. They just say, well, he's a preacher. He's a pastor. It has to be true. No, no, no. That's not the way it is. Listen, we have to have discernment today because we live in a culture that doesn't have any discernment. We live in a post-truth age. Our culture today, they don't know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. They don't know what's true. They don't know what's evil. They don't know what is good. They just don't know. And the Bible says, woe in Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good, good evil, who put darkness for light. Now look at chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to pick right up here on the third warning next Sunday. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Now, it doesn't mean leaving them doesn't mean I'm deceased believing in them. That's not what it's saying. It's there, we're going to have to go someplace. We're trying to grow up the Jewish believers in us today. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Why? The foundation has already been laid. So what do? We build upon what we learned from the milk. Does that make sense? We build upon that and go on. It says, and let us go on to perfection. So the word therefore returns us to the diet of milk and the diet of solid food, okay? Remember, the milk of the word refers to what Christ has done, his earthly ministry. The solid food is what Christ is doing now, his heavenly priesthood. And in context, that's what the problem was with the Jewish believers. That's why the writer is comparing, as we'll learn in chapter 7 whenever we get there, about the contrast of Melchizedek and our high priest Jesus Christ. Let me give you William's translation of this. It says, so then let us once and for all quit the elementary teaching about Christ and continue progressing toward maturity. Listen, you know the safest place to be with the Lord is when you are progressing. You're going on. You don't want to be regressing. If you are, you're not going forward. You're not going off on into maturity. See, the refusal to grow up, to remain, I mean, loved one, just content to remain in Christian 101, the basics, that's very sad, to be a baby. Listen, and the church faces that issue in every generation. When I hear people, and this is not a criticism, this is good, but people, they get excited about, let's say, the end times. They get excited about, okay, I'm doing a study on 666, you know, or the Antichrist and this and this. And you know what's going to happen in Israel? And then, or I'm excited, oh, I just did the rapture and there's nothing wrong. Those are all wonderful things to do. But loved one, there's more than that, isn't there? Are you excited? Are you excited about maturing in prayer? Have you explored every inch of the throne of grace? Are you excited to learn more as you are, say, about the end times? I'm just using that as a comparison. About our great high priest. See, we know what Jesus, his earthly ministry, we know what he's done. But what is he doing right now in our lives? Man, listen. Are we excited about growing up, about maturing? You know, it's only as we mature that we stand the storm. Does that make sense? We go through it and we just stand. And having all done to stand, we stand therefore. Amen. You see, hard times, difficulties, forgiving those that have wronged us, hurt us, wounded us. Loved one, that's how you grow up. That's how you start walking in the Spirit. That's how you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, taking you from glory to glory to glory. You know, we know the Jesus of the Gospels. Amen? As we look at next week and the next week after that, the Lord willing, like I said, we know the Jesus of the Gospels, but let's do something. Let's pass through the heavenlies together. Let's find our Lord, because He says to each of us, come boldly to the throne of grace. He loves us, man. He wants to meet with each of us anytime, 24/7. And one last thing before we depart this morning, you that are listening live, maybe here in the sanctuary, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something. You have an appointment with Him. Do you hear me? If you don't know the Lord, I want you to listen to me. You have an appointment on your calendar, whether you want it or not. You have an appointment with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that, are you prepared to talk with Him? Are you prepared to meet Him? Because the Bible says it is appointed, a calendar moment, a calendar day. It is appointed unto man once to die. You can't prevent that day. That day is going to come to us all unless the rapture happens. And then cometh the judgment. Are you prepared for that day? Well, loved one, there is only one way to prepare. And that's to ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord. The one who died for you, the one who forgave you, who died for your sins and wants you to be in heaven with Him forever. So as we bow our heads, and I'm a Christian praying, just for a few seconds, loved one. If you don't know the Lord, you don't have to get out of your chair. You who are listening live, you that are in the chapel, you don't have to get out of your chair. But here's what you have to do. If you don't know Christ, if you've never asked Him to come in your heart, you've never said, Lord, save me, then right now you can do so. And you know how? You just lift your hand high and say, Bill, I don't know the Lord, and I want to be saved. And just lift it high if that's you, and then put it right back down so I can see it. And then we're going to pray. Anyone this morning in the crowd here, anyone say, Bill, I don't know the Lord. I want Christ to be my Lord. Last call. Anyone at all? Father, I did not see any hands this morning. I pray that means everyone is saved. But if you're listening live and you tune in, boy, I tell you, just ask Jesus, say, Jesus, save me. Come into my heart. Oh, Lord, save me right now. Be the Lord of my life. And He'll do that right now. Father, thank You for this word. I want to grow up more. I want to keep growing up. I don't want to be a baby. I don't want to be a crybaby. I don't want to be a little sissy. Lord, I want to be a man of God, and they want to be men of God and women of God along with me. So, Lord, thank You for Your word this morning. We love the milk, but Lord, we have to have some steak with it. And we're thankful for that. We give You praise this morning. We give You our heart this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? God is good. Amen. We're going to close with a song this morning. If you need prayer after the song is over, there will be people down below to pray with you, whatever the need might be. Remember to respect the altar of those that are needing prayer. If you're visiting the very first time, Kathy is going to be back at the Welcome Center there in the main lobby. She has a free gift to give you. Melinda is on vacation. And don't miss that gift. It's got a $100 bill there with it, too. Of course, it's counterfeit, but it's still, you know. And let's sing to the Lord, shall we? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And I love him so. Thank you, Jesus. I love him so. Thank you.
I love him so.
He's so good to me. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. Hey.